Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne. Tonight we're going to be talking about the great white throne judgment. Great white throne judgment. My good friend and research assistant, Matthew Roman, and I have been talking about this particular passage of Scripture for many, many months. I think when I started in Revelation chapter 1, he said, "Pastor, I can't wait till you get to Revelation chapter 20 and the great white throne." And these are some of Matthew's thoughts on the great white throne judgment. Matthew says, when a person dies without Christ, there will be a great white throne judgment. When a person dies without Christ, there will be a righteous judge. When a person dies without Christ, there will be no room for excuses, no room for manipulation, no negotiations. It'll be too late. At the great white throne judgment will be sinners who have not received the gift of God, which is eternal life in Jesus Christ. It is not a judgment of believers. It is a judgment of the unsaved. Brother Matthew would have titled tonight's message, but I didn't. But Matthew would have titled it this: "No Negotiations." That's what he would have titled it. The grand finale judgment of the wicked. For the Christian, we understand accountability. Accountability is a great motivator. The world refuses accountability and rejects Jesus Christ. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 asks the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And the answer is, you will not escape if you neglect so great salvation. So Matthew, thank you for your thoughts on that. We miss you and look forward to seeing you maybe sometime this month. Before we go and read the text, Revelation chapter 20, we'll start at verse 11. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, help us this evening as we finish off this chapter, this motivator for the believer to warn those that we love to flee the wrath to come. Many in the room have memorized this chapter along with me. They have recited it. They could stand up here tonight, no doubt, and rehearse its content to our ears. But it is not enough to know it, to memorize it, to be able to recite it. May it motivate us to be witnesses of your salvation and to warn others to flee the wrath to come. We'll pray and praise you for your grace and your salvation. May we be found as stewards faithful to proclaim the message, the truth. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Again, people ask, why is the book of life introduced if their name is not written therein? The book of life is introduced because their name is not written in. And it is presented as a court would present the written record that their name is not there. It's evidentiary, which is the book of life. And the dead, as a result of the fact that they do not know Christ, they have not received the gift of God, which is eternal life. The gift of God is not the Holy Spirit. The gift of God is eternal life. And that is not through baptism or through works or through church membership. It is through Jesus Christ. Because they did not receive the gift of God, then they had to be judged out of the books. What are the books? The books are a record of every misdeed that you have ever done. And you notice it says the books. There's a lot of them. Why? There's a lot of misdeeds. So we could go around the room tonight with a microphone and have you list 10 misdeeds you've done today. Yeah, it would be pretty easy. But it would also be embarrassing. I don't want to be judged according to my works. I want to be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They were judged, verse 12, according to their works. Well, what about those who died at sea and a shark ate them? And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. What happens next? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written, that evidence presented in verse 12, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, the books showed that they were guilty, was cast into the lake of fire. They are a sinner. Books show, without a shadow of a doubt, that they are a sinner. You go to court, and the court case is going on, and there's lots of evidence. Many times, the defense attorney will get up and say, they don't want the record read in open court. They don't want the judge to hear that. They don't want the jury to hear it. And so they'll say, Your Honor, we stipulate to the facts, because they don't want them rehearsed again. Facts stand for themselves. Courtrooms, typically designed to strike fear into the heart of the participant, to strike awe, fear, reverence, respect in the heart. The judge's bench is typically higher than the rest of the courtroom. And when you stand or are seated at the prosecution's table or the defendant's table, you look up at the judge. There is, before court starts, a period of awe and respect when the bailiff stands up and says, All rise! And the door opens in the back, and the judge in a black black robe comes out and be seated, and the bailiff will say, Be seated and come to order. The court is now in session. If you have a case before the judge, when you hear that bailiff's voice, your heart starts to pick up its pace just a little bit. Again, for the believer, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for that. You are not, if you know Christ as your Savior, you are not at this judgment. This is a great white throne judgment. This is a judgment of unbelievers. The judgment seat of Christ is where the Christian will present themselves. But not for heaven or hell. It's a judgment of reward. Only the lost sinners will be here. The judgment seat of Christ is for saved sinners. Sinners who have received the gift of God, which is eternal life. The unsaved will stand before this throne, great white throne, verse 11. And it's a judgment that is worn throughout Scripture. Paul, in writing to Timothy in the second letter, the fourth chapter, the first verse, said, The Lord Jesus Christ shall judge the quick and the dead. Hollywood likes to make a mockery of the things of God. And I understand they made a Western called The Quick and the Dead. Where'd they get that from? You want to know who's the judge of the quick and dead? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's not wise to make a mockery of the things of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 says, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. How complete and how horrifying is this judgment? From whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. Frightful. This present earth began as a beautiful creation of God, and it has been wrecked by sin. Now, wait a minute. It's been wrecked by my sin. Might as well make it personal. It's been wrecked by your sin. It's easy for us to look at somebody else and say, it's been wrecked by their sin. They're a vile sinner, but I'm just a little white lie sinner. This God's creation wrecked by sin. Doesn't matter if it's a big lie or a little lie. It's a lie. It's sin. Today we live in a wicked and corrupt and sinful world. Politically corrupt, judicially corrupt. You do not have to look far on the internet before you find corrupt judges who take money to throw a case one way or another. Dishonest judges, unfair trials, bribery, graft. We have one such case documented in God's Word. The judge's name was Pilate. And the judge said, I find no fault in this man. Crucify him. You tell me, is that right? Is that just? Is that proper? Is that legal? Not in by any stretch of the imagination, but it still goes on today. But on this day, when John saw, looking forward, a great white throne and him that sat on it, and there is no misjudgment, there is no leniency, there is no mercy. This is a judgment of sentencing, and the documents are presented, and judgment is pronounced. On this day, the question will be answered that you are oft asked, and I am oft asked, when some horrific deed takes place in our world. Where is God? On this day, he is on the throne. And he is righting every wrong, and the books are opened, and every wrong will be acknowledged and judged. There are some magnificent courtrooms in the world today. The Royal Courts of Justice was built in 1870s. The Royal Courts of Justice in London is a large, imposing building in the Victorian Gothic style. Its front porch is adorned by the carved heads of eminent judges, while over the judges' entrance, a stone cat and dog represent fighting litigants. Inside, its magnificent interior contains 88 courtrooms, more than 1,000 rooms, and 3.5 miles of corridors. It is a labyrinth, and no wonder many a trainee has gotten lost on their first couple of visits. It also has a back entrance. For participants and judges that want to escape when the media awaits out front. But that, one of the most magnificent courthouses in the world today, cannot compare to this. People go in from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. What is open? Verse 12, the book of life is open. Again, standing as a written record that the accused sinner has rejected Christ. They've had opportunity. Verse 12 talks about the books of man's sin, man's criminal misdeeds documented. Again, presented for two reasons. Number one, to prove that we are sinners, but also to prove that eternal damnation is justified. Now just think, there was an article in the news, a lady had lived, I forget what country she was in, to 116 years of age. And she still looked pretty good at 115. And she attributed to her long life to eating yogurt every day and avoiding negative people. Now imagine living for 116 years and having every misdeed you've ever done, every nasty thought, every hateful word, every lie revealed. Imagine, again, that we dim the lights and put the screen up and just followed you around today and showed you in traffic, showed you as you were harsh, showed you as you said something that obviously was not true. What would you be? Embarrassed. Embarrassed. And beyond embarrassed, for 116 years or however long you live, all those records will be displayed. Again, proving our guilt as sinners, proving that the invocation of the sentence required, eternal death, is justified. Who is there? Verse 11, the dead, small. Verse 12, the dead, small and great. The powerful people and the weak people, the strong people and the rich people and the poor people, they are all there. And we read, every repository of death will yield up the bodies. Man goes to some extraordinary lengths to destroy creation, God's creation. There are those that they cremate and they grind up the bones and put them in powder, and then they take the powder and they maybe go up in an airplane and they sprinkle those ashes over an airspace, or go to a river and pour the ashes in and the water washes them down. That is not going to prohibit God from pulling all those elements back together. And at this judgment, the ashes that have been scattered to the four winds of the earth, scattered on the waters, will be gathered and returned. Your books might not be accurate, but I can tell you that God's books are 100% accurate. And the fate is sealed. The fate of man is sealed when a man takes his last breath on this earth and he has rejected Christ for the last time. And there is no extra chance. There is no purgatory. Doesn't exist. There is no reincarnation. And what kind of works will be revealed? Well, we live in a day when immorality is the norm. And the kids on our college campuses walk around like a bunch of animals, propositioning and prompting one another to have a one-night stand or afternoon romp. Immorality is the norm. Immorality is the norm on the movie screen. Immorality is the norm on the TV screen. Immorality is the norm. And God's got it all documented in a book. Homosexuality is promoted. Gender rebellion, all condemned by God. Abortion, the perpetrators and the promoters. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 says, there is nothing covered, but that shall be revealed. Nothing. Nothing. That thing that only you know about, nobody else knows. You know the old saying, three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead. God knows. It is not a secret. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 tells us that every idle word will be given account of in the day of judgment. So Matthew, Roman, and I, as we talked, we often found ourselves saying back and forth to one another, it is important to warn those that we love to flee the wrath to come. Another great court in the world is the High Court of Bombay. The High Court of Bombay is found in Mumbai, India, built in the mid-17th century. It is an impressive building. Visitors can go into the courtrooms and watch the lawyers at work. And also, if you go there, you might want to look closely at the intricately carved pillars. Among the carvings is a one-eyed monkey fiddling with the scales of justice. Isn't that like man's court? Now, that's not this court. There'll be no one-eyed monkeys fiddling with the scales of justice. There'll be no amount of money where the judge can be bribed. What is the end? Sadly, the end is only the beginning of eternity. And that end and beginning is found in verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So just for fun, I said, Siri, give me directions to the lake of fire. And Siri said, which location would you like? One of the locations was a pizzeria just east of Buffalo, New York. The other location was a pizzeria in California. But you know what Siri did not know? Revelation 20. Didn't mention that. Try to sell you pizza. You think that's accidental? I don't think that's accidental at all. What is known? It is literal. It is hot. It is burning. About 15 years ago, I was in the shed. Kids had just mowed the lawn. They have a 33-inch walk-behind mower, and I was reaching across the mower, and my arm, I smelled it before I felt it. Flesh burning on the exhaust. And I smelled it, and then I felt it. I don't think it's supposed to be that way. I think you're supposed to feel it and pull back before you smell it, but I'm just the opposite. I can tell you, and if I rolled up my sleeve and showed, you would still see the place of the burn. 6 months ago, I was in the shed. I just finished mowing the lawn. I was on the other side of the mower, and I reached across the mower, and I smelled it before I felt it, and now, sorry, Melanie, I have matching scars on both arms. And just based on those two little burns in what was just a brief second, the pain and the smell is not something that I said, you know, I like the smell of burning flesh. I think I'll touch it again. I think that's a place where I just like to grab it with both hands and just feel the burn. I was like, woof. You can't pull away fast enough, but on this day there will be no pulling away. It is literal. It is hot. It is burning. It is described as a lake of fire, burning for all eternity. Everlasting. The Antichrist is there, where the beast and the false prophet are. Satan will be there. The beast and the false prophet, at this point, will have already been there 1,000 years. Satan will be there. There is no annihilation. The fire is never quenched. For the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not, tormented day and night. Matthew, not Roman, Matthew in the Bible warned us to flee the wrath to come. Mark warns us to flee the wrath to come. Jesus Christ warns us to flee the wrath to come. The Bible warns us in Revelation chapter 20 to flee the wrath to come. Cast into the lake of fire. Proven to be dirty, rotten, vile sinners who could have received the gift of God but rejected. Who will be there? Respectable, church-going sinners who refused to receive Jesus Christ. Who will be there? Murderers and whoremongers and idolaters and all liars. The small liar and the vile murderer, the rapist, for all eternity. Because why? Sin demands just payment. I dream that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dream that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on the land and the sea and swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. The rich man was there with his money, but it had melted and vanished away. The pauper, he stood in the judgment. His debts were too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness, when death came, was left far behind. The angels had opened the records. Not a trace of his greatness could find. The drunker was there and the drunkard and the man who had sold them the drink with the people who gave him the license. Together in hell they did sing. The moral man came to the judgment, but self-righteous rags would not do. The men who had crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The souls that had put off salvation, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion. At last they had found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the mountains to hide them. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. Folks, Father, I thank you for your grace. It's a difficult passage. Painful. The world accuses you of being unjust. It's difficult for us to come up with an answer because we haven't read their books. But you have. And on this day, every mouth will be silenced and become guilty before God. I pray that we'd be faithful to witness, faithful to point people to the only solution for sin, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Knowing the terror of the Lord, may we be persuaders of men. And we'll thank you for your salvation and those that receive it throughout all eternity. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.